Today's passage is Zechariah 9:9-17. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off. And he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from their waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double. For I have bent Judah as my bow. I have made Ephraim its arrow. I will stir up your sons, O Zion, against your sons, O Greece, and wield you like a warrior's sword. Then the Lord will appear over them, and his arrow will go forth like lightning. The Lord God will sound the trumpet, and will march forth in the whirlwinds of the south. The Lord of hosts will protect them, and they shall devour, and tread down the sling stones. And they shall drink and roar, as if drunk with wine, and be full like a bowl, drenched like the corners of the altar. On that day, the Lord their God will save them, as the flock of his people. For like the jewels of a crown, they shall shine in his land. For how great is his goodness, and how great is his beauty! Grain shall make the young men flourish, and the new wine the young women. We're continuing in our Advent devotionals with our only passage from Zechariah. It's been pretty cool going through all of these Old Testament passages that point to Jesus in very specific ways, and today's passage has more of the same. The context of Zechariah is a bit different than the context of Ezekiel and Isaiah, which we've looked at already. Isaiah prophesied before the Babylonian exile, while Ezekiel prophesied around the beginning of the exile. Whereas for Zechariah, he actually prophesied towards the end of the exile, around 520 BC. There's different dates for marking the 70 years of exile, but one of them is from 586 to 516, 516 BC being the year when the rebuilt temple was dedicated to God. So Zechariah was a prophet saying that it was safe to go back to Israel. The context of the Israelites receiving this prophecy was a people who were unsure about going back to Israel, and definitely unsure about what their future held. At the time, it would have been hard for any of them to imagine feeling safe anytime soon. It's during this uncertain period when Zechariah, like the prophets before him, speaks the words of God that promise a great king. These are tremendous words of hope. This great king is, of course, Jesus. And again, looking back on Jesus' life on earth, we see these prophecies fulfilled in very specific ways. Starting with the first verse, in the Gospels, we have multiple accounts of Jesus riding into Jerusalem in this exact manner on Palm Sunday. The Gospel of Matthew provides the most detail about this and directly quotes Zechariah. I'll read a blurb from Matthew for us. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you'll find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he shall send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, of course Zechariah here, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." This was a sign that Jesus was indeed the Messiah, the king, promised here in Zechariah. This prophecy being fulfilled is amazing, just like all these other prophecies that are fulfilled by Jesus. But also, just the context of this one is amazing. that this promised great king is a humble one. Jesus is the Son of God, and only he could come so humbly to earth in human flesh to redeem his people. Jesus is humble, but let's not make the mistake of forgetting that he is also all-powerful. Verse 10 promises how the chariot, war horse, and battle bow will be cut off, because under his reign there is peace. War will come to an end because he will be victorious. His reign will be over all the earth. Zechariah says, his rule shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. We have seen this theme already many times, especially in these Advent devotionals, that Jesus has set his reign or his kingdom in motion when he walked this earth and went to the cross and was resurrected. And we are now, us as people right now, are in this in-between period when the kingdom is overlapping, with the kingdom of earth. But under his second coming, it will only be Jesus' kingdom. It will only be his reign. His rule will be all over, much greater than what we have started to see right now. In verses 11 and 12, Zechariah talks about the Messiah freeing prisoners. Verse 12 has the phrase, prisoners of hope, which is very interesting since it almost sounds like an oxymoron. But I think it's saying that these people who were once held captive by the enemy are now filled with hope and can enjoy the reversal of fortunes brought about by the Messiah. I think in some ways we can call ourselves prisoners of hope as well, when we recognize that we were once prisoners of sin until we accepted Jesus' forgiveness and accepted him as our Lord. And finishing off that section with verse 13, the sons of Zion, God's people, are stirred up and wielded by God to prevail against the sons of Greece, which can represent those who oppose God. We won't go into depth for the second half of the passage, but briefly, in it, God reinforces the promise of him saving the people. There are many battle references, such as the arrow and marching forth after the trumpet sound. And throughout it, all these references, God is the one who protects his people. While the verses show the Lord protecting and saving his people, it's worth noting that the people still play an active role in the battle. In verse 15, it's the people who conquer the enemies and roar in victory. You can say that the Lord leads his people into victory. And lastly, in verse 16, there's yet another reference to the people being God's flock, just like we read in Ezekiel and Psalm 23. That was quite a bit for a devotional, but today, let's rejoice in our Messiah, Jesus, who is our humble and all-powerful King, who has come to us to lead us to victory and will come again. And also, let's recognize that we are still in this spiritual battle. We are still in this in-between period where Jesus' kingdom has broken through, but it isn't fully set up. We still have the kingdom of the earth where the enemy has influence. Jesus is leading us. He has endured the cross to guarantee the victory. And now we have to see this spiritual battle through until that day when his reign is fully known, when his reign goes from sea to sea, as we read. This war is a spiritual one, so we fight using prayer, the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit. As this year is winding down, let's persevere and stay engaged in this spiritual battle. And let's be on the lookout for other prisoners of hope, other people who need to be shown the good news of Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we first just want to praise you and rejoice, like it says in this passage, because you have come to us already. You have come to this earth and you endured the cross for us. And Lord, we believe that you will come again one day to establish your reign once and for all. God, we rejoice in you. We thank you for your humility. Thank you for your power and your plan that's so much higher than what we could ever imagine. And Lord, we pray also for ourselves. We pray that you would strengthen us for this battle. God, in the season where it's really easy to grow weary, Lord, help us to persevere. Won't you strengthen us like this passage, like we read in this passage. Lord, fill us with hope and help us to have eyes to see the people around us. Help us to see how we were once prisoners, but you set us free. And Lord, you are still doing that work of setting people free to walk in your victory. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.